This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
That's right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Day one, 2025 Houston Texans training camp in the books.
Yes, sir.
Lopez, how you feeling?
Feeling good. All things considered, you couldn't have asked for a whole lot more. Maybe you could ask for a couple little things. We talked about it about 20 minutes ago. But, you know, all that aside, CJ looked good. Obviously, you know, it was good to see the Nick Chubb out there going. Defense is the defense. Now, here's what I'm looking forward for tomorrow.
Okay.
We're going to have
spinning it forward.
Yeah, we're going to have a little better look at the defense tomorrow. Today, they, you know, there's 1, 2, 3 fields. They were on the third field. It was kind of hard to see. We were kind of focused on the offense.
That's true.
So we're going to have a better look on that tomorrow because they'll be going, I think, in the middle field a little more, if memory serves. And certainly we'll get a good gauge on that.
What are you most looking forward to with the defense? Because I tried to, and of course, day one, you're only going to get so much. In fact, first week, you're only going to get but so much before we put pads on and have the capability of seeing more of what's happening. But I tried to, in individual drills, go over there. Man, I think I butchered the word individual there. I'm sorry. Did I say individual?
Something
like
that. I don't
know. Oof, that was nasty.
That's all right.
Individual drills. I tried to go in between those second and third fields as you were describing it. And I got a little bit better view of where the safeties were working out, cornerbacks were working out separately, and then the wide receivers and tight ends. I couldn't really get more as much of a sight on the guys that I really wanted to see. The law firm of Smith and Smith,
yeah,
Jalen Smith, the rookie cornerback, and then Tremont Smith, the veteran cornerback that they brought in that would probably be playing more of that outside role. I really want to see what those guys had. I got a chance to see like some small things they're playing. You know, doing a little bit of a break on the football drills.
Yeah,
nothing that is too expansive. I want to see those guys more because, again, you know this about me at this point. I've talked about it and I've bloviated so much. I want to see what this cornerback depth looks like because I think that that could be one of the few portholes in the Death Star of this defense.
Well, that ties in with the other thing I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I think either tomorrow or Friday, we're going to get a heavy dose of ones versus ones, not necessarily full pads. I think that's probably coming maybe Friday, but certainly Saturday. But one-on-one drills.
You think we even get pads by then?
I think Saturday we'll get pads.
Okay.
But they're going at it pretty good. I mean, they're mixing it up right now. As you guys well know, if you've seen some of the video that Sports Radio 610 has put out there. But ones versus ones, receivers versus cornerbacks. We're going to see some of that tomorrow. That is going to be big time for not just, you know, Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noll, but Christian Kirk, some veterans, Nico Collins going against the likes of Stingley and Lassiter, et cetera.
Yeah, that was one of the fun things that D'Amico Ryans mentioned in his availability was talking about. And I mean, it's simple, really, but just he was excited about a number of players. And of course, he went ahead and rattled off damn near all the wideouts. Jalen Noll, Jaden Higgins, Christian Kirk, Justin Watson. More options for where the football can go to help CJ. And that one struck me, especially as I'm in the midst of my rewatch. We'll pick that back up tomorrow, where I'm watching, especially as you've lost Diggs at one point in the season, when you lose Nico for a period of time, as you lose Tank Dell, you're seeing a lot of games where CJ is just, the teams know that you don't have very many places to go in a realistic way. And I'm super excited to see the opposite side of that. Let's get a real feel, hopefully, if they're placed in the right positions, for CJ to have opportunities, have, you know, outlets to pick and allow him to flourish. Because having the reins is cool, but if the reins only really lead you to one place, that'd be real problematic.
And just another good thing today, going back to today, is, you know, obviously C.J. Stroud, but the way the offense worked, you heard D'Amico talking about it. C.J., more control. We're starting to see some of that. And then it's going to just get more and more so as the week progresses.
How much do you make of that, that D'Amico made mention of how excited he was, not just about CJ, but all the signal callers, as he called them, like linebackers. The fact that these guys are on task, not messy, it's already clean day one. Like, how much does that matter to you, especially as a man who has seen many, many a training camp and probably can do the connection of what it looks like in training camp versus what it ultimately looks like in the season?
Well, what I've seen and many have seen that have covered this team and others over the years is exactly what D'Amico said he was glad he did not see. And that's, you know, just sort of having to explain things, you know, ball hitting the ground, pulling back from the line of scrimmage and saying, okay, what are we doing? It was sharp. It was crisp. And that's a compliment to C.J. Stroud as much as anyone.
All right. So one more thing I wanted to hit at least with the D'Amico Ryans as he talked. Was were you as taken with the two different instances that D'Amico mentioned that every year I start over?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you would not, you know, be mad at him by any stretch looking at it and going, we had an elite defense last year. We expect to have the same defense. We just want to build upon that strength. No one would trouble him for that, but he went as far to say, previous 2 years, it doesn't matter to him. We have to reinvent ourselves. Just because a defense has been successful in the past doesn't mean it'll be successful today.
I didn't quite highlight that, as it seems like it stood out to you, only because I think that's the way D'Amico played.
Sure.
The way that he's wired. I think we know that by now. And I think it's the culture that has been, you know, implemented from the very first day that he stepped here. But it is good, and it's accurate. Even Nick Caserio was talking about when he was speaking today. You know, if you think you know how it's going to go, you're probably going to be wrong. But he did say, I think we have a very good team. Nick Caserio did.
That's correct.
Have a very good team.
Yeah, but I don't know. I love that because also it acknowledges that, you know, the defense was not perfect.
Yeah.
And they're going to build anew. Obviously, they have some things that you imagine that you have some insight on. You have some ideas that you know work to some degree. You're not going to rinse and repeat, but you're going to build it anew.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can maybe, I imagine that, hey, making sure that we have tackling down pat is one of those. Making sure that, you know, guys are not having busts over the top of the defense is going to be a part of that. I am intrigued to see what a refreshed and start from square one defense does for the defense as a whole, and also for some of the newcomers and maybe the opportunity for them to come in and be impact players, or at least have some level of impact early on. All right. Some other things when it comes to your Houston Texans. The Athletic put together a pre-training camp, which, of course, now a little bit into the early parts of training camp, power rankings for the NFL. And I like this because it gives us a little bit more of an insight as to what teams around or what people around the league are thinking of this Houston team from the outside looking in. Because we have our thoughts. We've talked a lot about them over the course of the last few months. Where do you think the Houston Texans, assuming that you haven't seen this, I actually didn't ask.
I actually have not.
Okay, where do you think the Houston Texans fall in a pre-training camp power rankings for the Athletic?
Probably lower than we would expect, but I don't think too low. I'm going to say 10 or 11.
That is actually lower than where they are.
Oh, good.
That is lower when they were.
I don't know why I said good.
It is good because they are ranked higher than your expectation.
Yeah.
8th.
All right.
Is the ranking for the Houston Texans. And this is a Athletic article that was put together by Josh Kendall of the Athletic. And it has, in a segment that I like to call reading, you know about this. C.J. Stroud was sacked 52 times last year, more than anyone. And more than anyone other than Caleb Williams, who obviously he had his issues, more than 10% of his dropbacks ended in a sack or an interception. And Houston's offensive line lost Laremy Tunsil, which that's kind of funny in today's light because it did feel like there were times in which Laremy Tunsil was being spoken about without being spoken about, so to say. The defense might be good enough, though, to keep the Texans near the top of this list with offensive. While the offense tries to regain its footing, Houston was second in defensive success rate, fifth in defensive EPA last year, and added C.J. Gardner-Johnson. This is an accurate description and depiction of what this Texans team is, right?
I think it's very accurate, and it also led me to remember something else that I thought was very important today. And it might just be me, but it is important to me. The way that they sort of gave the offense more opportunities than a team usually does, even this team last year and the year before, to take some reps. And I think what it's indicative of is they're going to bring the offense along as slowly as it needs to be, give them as many reps as they need to really get a good grasp of it. And just for those who weren't listening earlier, you know, generally you get like 3 or 4 reps with the first team on the field, to be accurate, and then about 3 or 4 with the next team and so on. But they got like 8 or 9 in a row right out of the chute, which I think is an indicator of they know their defense is set. They've got to bring this offense along, you know, diligently and carefully and get and as much as it takes to in terms of reps, they're going to do it.
All right. So we know the Houston Texans ranked 8th. I don't think anybody's going to be too mad about that. Top 3rd of the league. And I think with the way that this Texans team is, we were hopeful that the offense will find a level of a better footing, obviously, than last year, but a level of viability when it comes to the balance of complete and competitive football. What is the neighborhood? Like, I like thinking about this. Where are the comps? Where are you around? Mm-hmm. The team immediately behind the Houston Texans at 9 on these power rankings, the Los Angeles Rams, week 1 opponent. And then immediately ahead of the Texans, the Detroit Lions, a team that is replacing both of their coordinators, maybe having to find their offensive identity again. How does that hit you, that those are the two teams that you're sandwiched between on this particular power ranking?
I think it's, in all honesty, maybe a tad bit generous. What are the top 7?
All right, so here we go. Yeah. Stop me when you get offended by a team that is ahead of your Houston Texans. Number 1, the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
All right, no objection there.
Oh, I guess I'm not offended.
All right, number 2, I believe Super Bowl favorites as of betting odds right now, Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, everybody's good?
We're
very
all good.
Good.
We good.
Number 3, an AFC foe, assuming that you do the things that you need to do, the Buffalo Bills at 3. Okay?
No complaints.
Number 4, Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
Okay, still good. Number 5, Green Bay Packers. Okay, I see it in your eyes that you want to talk about this.
I was a big fan of Jordan Love last year. I thought that was a real good comparison with C.J. Stroud. I liked what the Packers were doing. I think that's a little generous. Maybe they're falling into sort of a narrative, whatever you want to call it, momentum that the Packers might have. Yeah, yeah.
You knew that was going to happen.
I think
right?
That's a little generous. Yeah.
No
Commanders.
Commanders are 6th.
Packers ahead of the Commanders.
That is correct.
All right. So now I'm legit. Like,
There is something to be said about, like, the Commanders did fall into some of those wins were, like, you know, by the skin of their teeth, which, again, the wins count as W's.
But they did get to the NFC Championship.
And they did, right? Yeah. And they did. I do wonder, though, how that continues to hold on. Year 2 of Jaden Daniels, that is one of those things that it ends up being a cliche, but there is a modicum of truth within it, the idea of an opportunity to have more film and more of a sight on what a team.
But they've also added on, and he's no longer a rookie. So
they haven't paid his best option yet. I imagine that should happen at some point. But okay, so you have literally no issues with Commanders, but more with the Packers. Okay, and then 7, as I mentioned, the Detroit Lions, a team that the talent is clearly there in abundance. They just need to figure out what they're doing with the coordinators and are they able to put those talented pieces in the places to be successful.
Yeah, no, I think that's more than fair. And again, at first I was thinking a little bit generous with the Texans, but I like it and I think they've justified it.
Okay, so I'm excited to get going on this season, man. Mm-hmm. We're barreling towards that way. Real quick, I actually want to talk about the Astros because the Astros getting going with a day game, I guess a more West Coast, not quite West Coast, but Arizona edition of a day game. I believe that's a 2:40 first pitch for the Astros where you'll have Brandon Walter on the mound. Get this. Here's the lineup. You ready for this?
I'm looking at it.
You have Trammell leading off.
How about that?
And then Victor Caratini, who is playing first base. Batting 2nd. Then you have Christian Walker DHing 3rd. So he's, I guess, maybe being in being at Chase Field and his success. What is? I know that he had gotten to a point where he was 4 of 6 in his at-bats. I think he had another one that I did not account for. But then, you know, after that, you end up with Yainer Diaz catching, Bryce Matthews hitting sixth at second base. Dubon, Cooper Hummel, Chaz McCormick, and then Shea Whitcomb rounding all out your lineup. What, like?
No Altuve, rest day.
No Altuve, rest day. No Cam Smith,
rest
day. First and foremost, how do you feel about both of those guys getting rest day on the same day?
Yeah, that's a little weird because they've been very key, obviously, offensively. So that's number one. The second part is with those two guys out, what does Bryce Matthews have to do to get up maybe lead off second, something like that, with his speed?
Okay, that is fair. He does have the speed. Yeah. I do wonder if they're just like, hey.
Tap the brakes a little bit?
Not even tap the brakes. Like, keep the pressure low on, boy. Right? Like, there is something that, you're hitting major league hitting. That don't mean we need to throw you to the wolves of now you're hitting in higher pressure situations, upwards inflection, you know? So, I actually do like this. Allow him to keep a level of comfort. I don't know that's like, we need to make sure he gets that extra at bat over.
Yeah.
Get him in a place where he's comfortable, and hopefully he can get you another one of those shots that go out of the yard.
I will say, just based on what we saw the last couple of days, and certainly, he's in the lineup again right behind Bryce Matthews. Mauricio Dubon has had a pretty dang good run here. A lot of great plays to the plate defensively, throwing, getting guys out, making plays, making catches, and helping Bryce Matthews. That was one of the things I meant to get to yesterday. You know, Matthews, after the game, after his two home run game, was crediting, the team for all the support and the way they're helping him, sort of acclimate and all that. But specifically, Dubon seems to be taking on that role of, all right, rookie, let's talk, let me help you here. Seems to really be helping Bryce Matthews. For lack of other guys being in the lineup because they're hurt, they're on the injured list, Dubon is kind of taking on a bigger role like that, too.
And it would stand to reason that he would be the guy to do that. Dude who plays all the positions, being a guy that gives other guys game, right? Like, all right, well, when you have to jump into this position that you have not played very often, these are the things that I utilize to help myself get right quickly to play this position or to do the things that I need to do, especially because he is the elder statesman second baseman that you have. I mean, even Brendan Rodgers, who, again, and I feel like a jerk saying this. I probably shouldn't say this every time. I am just good. I'm good on that proposition at this point. Even him, like, he's injured at this point. He's not with the club in order to do that. So, yeah, man, Dubon is the guy who would be given Bryce Matthews' game in this instance.
And one other thing about this lineup, as you just went through it, we should be saying, what the hell? When you look at the lineup, I mean, it's – and we're not, really.
Well, there is a certain inclination, especially when you're like, hey, you are running a restaurant.
Yeah.
You are already on the skeleton crew, and you tell your best two servers, hey, you can go ahead and you're cut for the night. What you mean? What you mean, Altuve and Cam Smith cut for the night? I mean, are slammed right now.
Let me just go through the last names. It's July. You're leading the division. You're half a game out from the best record in the American League. And here we go.
Taylor Trammell.
Trammell.
Would you like to lead off, buddy?
Trammell, Caratini, Walker, Diaz, Matthews, Dubon, Hummel, McCormick, Whitcomb. That's your contending lineup?
And what's funny is, like, the tone is a level, is one of kind of, like, exasperation is not the right word, but, like, one where we're just kind of astonished.
Yeah.
But it's also, we're not mad on them. Like, they've earned the benefit of the doubt at this point.
That's why I say we should be saying, what the hell is going on? But we're not, because they have done exactly what you just said.
So very excited to see, though, I will say, that is the lineup. They're going up against a not very bad pitcher in Brandon Pott.
Good way to put it.
Yeah.
He's not bad.
Yeah, not bad. That is the way that I'll say that. So, you do have the win on the series. So maybe does that contribute at all? I would hate to have anybody say specifically that you go, this was one that we could afford to lose. But we'll see what that ultimately looks like in a day game for your Houston Astros, who, again, still sitting five games above the AL West. They cannot, the zombie Astros.
Yeah, man.
Roll on.
Yeah.
This is so fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little nerve-wracking at times, but it is fun. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we always do it at this time, so we had to hand things off to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got for us, bro?
Yeah, so Rich Hill made his start last night, and he made history with the Royals at the age of 45, being the oldest pitcher or oldest person in team history. So it got me thinking, if you could have a former pitcher come out and pitch for one inning, like on some nostalgia type stuff, who would it be? I got a list, 713-572-4060.
I know my answer. I'm doing a bit, but we'll do it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news,
you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Next.
Yep, it's the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to everyone out there. Happy camp day. Football season is here, but we gotta talk a little baseball.
Baseball.
We gotta talk a little baseball. Mm-hmm. So last night, Rich Hill, pitcher who been in the league for what? I forgot how many years. Yeah. He got like over 15 plus service years, whatever they said. Mm-hmm. But he made history for the Kansas City Royals last night. He went 5 innings, gave up 6 hits, 1 earned run at the age of 45.
Pretty incredible.
14th yeah. franchise that he's played for.
14?
14. Like, he is baseball Luke Ridenour. He is baseball Andre Miller. He been all over.
Yeah, so this is how it sounded on the Royals broadcast when they introduced Rich Hill.
And there is 45-year-old Rich Hill. He makes history tonight. He is officially the oldest player in Royals franchise history. He is also now pitching for his 14th different team. That ties Edwin Jackson's major league record. And that is called strike three. Tucker's down looking. First Royals strikeout for Rich Hill. And strikeout 1,429 in his big league career.
Against his former team, too. The team that
well, they're all his former
team. Yeah, exactly.
No, the team he actually debuted with. Yeah. Yeah. So he debuted against for the Cubs.
Yeah.
So kind of a little cool moment right there.
Oh, which, very cool.
Which got me thinking, man, if you could have one former pitcher back on the mound for one inning. I ain't gonna say 5 innings. Mm-hmm. I know some people ain't doing no 5 innings, but
yeah,
at least one inning based off of nostalgia. So it ain't got to be like a, you know, Babe Ruth or anything like that, but yeah, somebody that you can still look at and be like, I think he could probably go one inning.
It can be dead or alive?
No, I would say I kind of want alive. I was kind of thinking
I've
like,
got two alive.
He's like, bring that old person out here.
Because the first person I thought about was Roger Clemens.
That's a good one.
I would love to see Roger Clemens, the Rocket, on the mound. Just one inning, just off of nostalgia.
Two that are alive that I would love to see. I'll give you in a second, but I've never saw this guy, obviously way before my time too. I would love to see what Satchel Paige really
has.
Man, I would love to see what Satchel Paige really has. Apparently, he was like, before there were radar guns, just blasting people out there. So I'll set that aside, but that was the one that came to mind.
That's a great answer.
The ones that are alive, I want to see Greg Maddux dice up these fools.
That's also a very good answer.
Dice them up with a 78-mile-an-hour, you know, fastball just right on the paint. And then another one, a slider on the paint. And then the mind games that he would play with batters. Oh, you think I'm going to throw this? Ha! You know, I'm not going to throw that. I'm going to throw this, and you're going to swing at it.
I think one of the other reasons why I thought about this question was just seeing how Rich Hill was pitching.
Mm-hmm.
It was very old school.
Yeah.
Just like, I'm going to just throw this ball off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just keep throwing it. It's nothing fancy. It's nothing like mechanical type deal.
Yeah.
He was just throwing that sucker, man. So here's my list.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would love to see Hideyu Nomo.
Okay.
Just that pitching style. He's 56 years old, mm-hmm. by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could see that style of pitching for one inning,
yeah,
I'd be good with that. El Duque.
Yeah.
El Duque, Orlando Hernandez, mm-hmm. 59 years old, by the way. I would like to see that kick.
He could strike one guy out.
Yeah, I'd like to see that knee up to the chest.
Mm-hmm.
I said Roger Clemens. He's 62, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And how fast do you think his fastball is
right now?
Right now,
I bet you he can hit 85.
I was thinking the same thing. 80, I think he 85. Could get. I think he could get up to about 84, 85.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. My next one, Dontrell Willis.
All right,
I would love to see Dontrell Willis for one inning.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Just that funky little delivery.
Yeah,
see him for one inning, and he's 43, by the way.
Okay.
So I think that's very
viable. Yeah.
So that's not talking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one of my favorite pitchers growing up, CC Sabathia.
That was one that came to mind as I was thinking.
I need big CC though, man. Yeah. I don't want skinny CC.
Nobody wants skinny CC. With all due respect,
I want 350-pounder CC Sabathia.
I'm with you on all those. I like all those.
Yeah. And I threw another one in. Clearly, this ain't gonna happen, but. Juan Marichal? Yep. He's 87 now, mm-hmm. but
so, another one that I wish I could have seen.
Yeah, but that high kick. Have mm-hmm. you seen that high kick?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I would love. Maybe I would like to see him throw the first pitch out.
Oh, okay. I like what you.
Maybe
doing
the first pitch out. Maybe try. I don't know how good of shape he in, but I would like to see him attempt to do his old.
What
style.
Do you think Nolan can bring? It can bring.
This is the problem.
How
like,
old is he now?
He is. Rather old. I don't want to say the thing that immediately came to mind and mm-hmm. let it sound
78.
Like disrespect.
78.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know that he got the heat like just in the mechanics. Mm-hmm. However, there is not a pitcher in the world that's got more want to.
Yeah.
And so I feel like he could want to himself to like a nice
65,
70.
Yeah.
Nice 70 that just like, that's crisp 70.
Yeah.
Some of the ones that are coming in on the text line, Roy Oswalt, Andy Pettit, those are to be expected.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said Lance McCullers. Stop that. Mariano Rivera comes up. Just making sure y'all said Randy Johnson. I definitely thought it.
Yeah.
I said I was going to do a bit, and I appreciate Rob Torres on the YouTube also being in the same place. Give me Bartolo Colon, because there's nothing that American society loves more than a portly athlete.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I should have did a list of the fat pitchers. fat pitchers.
As we all want to see
them. The best fat pitchers of all time.
We all want to see them. Yeah.
Bartolo is definitely on that list.
Yes, he is.
Something you said when you started, and he was good. Like, that's the thing.
He was really good.
It's easy to just remember him as, oh, man, he's the big boy, whatever. Yeah. He
was good.
Yeah.
When we start talking about dead or alive, you know the name that came to mind, especially when you brought up Satchel, another great black pitcher, Bob Gibson.
Oh, I'd love to see him.
Just because I want to see him be ornery as hell on the mound. Like, I just want to see him annoyed as hell that he has to face batters.
He's yelling at his own catcher. Sit back down. he did that on multiple games. Don't come talk to me. I got this. Okay, yes, sir.
A lot of Bob unit, big unit love. Doc Gooden comes in. That would be fun as well.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
All right, it's Mitch Stapen, the Loop Sports Radio 610. While we're talking about baseball, I kind of ran down a rabbit hole because this video popped up.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of old school pitchers, David Wells.
Yeah.
Who played for the Yankees. I think he played for the Padres at one point, too. But a video popped up about him wearing Babe Ruth's hat in the real game. You remember this story?
Whoa, I don't think I've ever heard this.
Yeah, vaguely.
Yeah, so he actually bought Babe Ruth's real mm-hmm. Yankees hat.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to wear it in the game, but Joe Torre was like, no, you're not allowed to do it.
Yeah.
But here's the story of David Wells and the Babe Ruth hat.
I ended up buying it for $35,000. I took it to the ballpark. I said, I'm going to wear this sucker. Joe Torre caught wind of it. He's like, hey, you can't wear that hat. It's not required uniform. I'm like, yo, how cool would that be to wear the hat? Babe Ruth wore it. Now I'm wearing it in a game, and kind of brings back history a little bit because it is history. I'm like, I'm going to wear this hat. He goes, no, you're not. I go, oh, yeah, I am. I was warming up. I walked by him, and he was looking right at my hat. I looked down. I said, see, I don't have it on. But I went up to my locker, put it on. And I'm looking up the tunnel. I see Jorge and Derek, and they're looking at me, and I'm like, go. Just run out there, because when you run out there, they start the music, and I'm like, go. So they took off running, and then I came right on the mound, and Joe's pissed. He goes, take the hat off. He goes, I told you not to wear it. And I said, well, I wore it. It's pretty cool. And he goes, well, you're not wearing it anymore. After the game, he called me in. He's like, yeah, you're fine, $2,500. I'm like, that's it? And I said, all right, whatever it is. At least I got to wear the hat, and, you know, history is history. So I bought it for $35,000, and I took a lot of grief for paying that much for a hat. I saw in the paper a Babe Ruth jersey, and it was going up for auction. I said, if somebody's not going to get the jersey, they're going to buy the hat. So I ended up putting the hat in the auction and ended up getting, like, $550,000, $600,000 for it. That's a good investment on my part. That's the saga of that hat. It was pretty cool.
Now, I didn't hear that. I didn't remember that last part. That's a great investment.
Yeah.
That, yeah, man. I mean, ultimately, $50,000, all things considered, or no, bad
35
math.
Grand.
$60,000, all things considered, to buy and wear the hat in a big league game.
No, he said $2,500. So it was only
$37,500.
Oh,
$2,500?
Yeah.
I'm thinking 25. Oh, yeah. That's even better.
Including the fine, he paid $37,500 and sold it for $500,000.
Yeah. Auction, it went off for, over $500,000. Somewhere around there. Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. That was cool. You could actually Google the picture, and he's actually wearing the hat. It looked kind of cool, man. It looked super cool, but mm-hmm. I thought that was a cool story. Well, I guess it's going to be a Yankee segment mm-hmm. because y'all want to laugh at some at Aaron Boone?
Of course.
100%.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if this is even fun. I want to know who's in the right with this. So Aaron Boone was on with, I want to say, Talking Yanks. Mm-hmm. I want to say that's John Boy, right? John Boy.
It's the Talking Baseball. I can't remember what Talking Baseball
Yanks.
Is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's within the Talking Baseball family of things, and I can't remember if that's
It's John Boy.
Okay.
But the Yankees, Aaron Boone, been kind of getting a lot of heat, and we kind of did this with Joe Espada at one point mm-hmm. where the Astros was playing a little rough, and we said, hey, man, we need some fire under his butt, man. Like, why is he talking all calm?
Yeah.
Like, throw something. Yeah. Like, let's fire up the squad.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying the same thing about Aaron Boone and the Yankees. They feel like there's no urgency.
Okay.
So here is some guys on Talking Yanks. Talking to Aaron Boone, he's actually on the podcast with him. And he got a little chippy right here.
Vladdy diving means they wanted it more last night.
No, it doesn't mean that. But it's like that. It's like that visual. Then to like the post games of like it's July. There's a lot of season left when you're two thirds of the way through.
But understand the pestering, bantering, leading questions that are being asked.
No, I understand that.
And I don't want them to just fly off the handle and be emotional. Like, you know, we've been pretty good over the years of like compartmentalizing and dealing with the everyday grind of the regular season and playing in New York and all the, and you start getting emotional and going down that road, it's a bad trait.
Yeah. So he talking to him, he like, hey, everybody is different pretty much.
Yeah.
And when you start getting emotional, that's when it's a bad sign.
Mm-hmm.
So here's more with Talking Yanks and Aaron Boone.
I get it. I guess there's just a difference. Like, you know, Weaver had a couple bad outings. The way he talked to the media, it felt honest and it felt,
okay,
and he was
everyone's
like.
Everyone's different. Stop with the reaction of how a guy answers a freaking question.
It's serious. Not, but it's not one guy. It's like.
Okay. We got to win. We understand.
Got to win.
We are obsessed with it and hell bent preparation wise and guys give a rip. Okay.
So this is great, but this doesn't come through.
Because everyone handles things different. Some people will give you colorful answers.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that media answer. Some guys throw their helmet. Does that make you feel good? Some guys are calm. Like, stop it. It doesn't mean a guy cares more or less because he dives into home plate. Okay?
Well, yeah.
Okay? It's you got to be angry at something because we didn't win. Or so I got to direct my anger at something.
That yeah was real dismissive.
it really was. But here's the thing, I think, you know, and I haven't looked at the comments or anything. I bet you Yankees fans are still taking him to task.
Like, oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
The most reasonable fans in all of baseball are obviously I'm saying, like, Yankees fans.
Even though he actually showed some fire there, I think it's working against him. Like, why can't you talk like this, you know, after a game? You clearly can get agitated.
Yeah.
You know?
Here's the last part of this interview where you kind of get a little more chippy.
I hear you're saying that you guys feel urgency, that you want to win. That doesn't come across. The messaging has been, there's a lot of season left. We just got to keep going and we're fine. You know, no, I don't regret that play. I wouldn't have done things any differently. It's like, well, that the messaging feels different than what you just delivered. That's all.
You don't listen to all my answers then. You pull.
No, I'm not talking about you. I think you've actually been way more in this light this season.
Well, Luke Weaver, you loved his answer.
Yeah. I also love Luke Weaver though.
Okay. Like, you're cherry picking the answers you like that are like,
yes.
Tugging at my fandom in the right way.
Yes.
Like, sorry. They're not robots.
Well, okay? Yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah.
I want more non-robotic answers.
I don't care what you want.
All right. Well, I'm just letting you know.
These are answers of pestering everyday questions. I want our guys in a good, like, boom, we are locked in when it's and when it's really good and all in between. I want us locked. I want to showing up every day, ready to prepare and ready to go, period.
I hate that. I thought we were supposed to be making fun of Aaron Boone because I'm sitting here like, I think he's right.
Yeah, because I feel like we guilty of that too.
Mm-hmm.
We was
sure.
Especially the first year Joe Espada, where, you know, you had somebody like a Dusty Baker who would fire a team up or something like that. But Joe Espada is a little more laid back. And when they were losing, we were like, yo, come on, man, slam a table, throw a water cooler or something. And that wasn't his style. And eventually the Astros went on a run and ended up making the playoffs. So I can't front, man. I'm a little guilty of that, too.
Well, I think a lot of people are. As a fan, you definitely want that more often than not.
And I got to give Aaron Boone credit for standing on the table for his guys. Like, no, you don't understand. They're locked in. They just might not show it in this particular way. I do love that he's like, all right, this clearly isn't getting through, so I'm just going to drop a very well orchestrated, swear word right here to let you know that I'm really done with this conversation, you know? But I gotta commend him. Way to defend
your
guys.
Nobody cares what you think.
Mm-hmm. How about you be better at baseball though?
Yeah. That's. I think. I'm wondering when they gonna have that real conversation where they say, you know what, we might need to go in a different direction because it seemed like they always come up short, man.
Yeah.
And I know they went to the World Series last year, but it seemed like they always come up short, man. They always had these type of, I guess, run-ins.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Figgy's mixtape. Right here in Loop on Sports Radio 610 at 120 every day at the Figgy Fig on social media. If you see something mixtape worthy, it shouts you out. A number of names still come in on pictures. People want to see Pedro Martinez. Mm. Somebody said, go ahead and let me see David Wells one more again. Goose Gossage.
That's a good one.
Put that hat on. Oh, he gave up the hat, but put that hat on.
Yeah, man. all sorts of names coming in. So appreciate you guys getting involved with the program. All right, coming up next, we get ready to hand things off to the fellas of The Drive. But before we get there, the head coach of the Rockets came up in a little bit of a conversation. I ask you, is it fair or foul what has been talked about eBay? We'll talk about it next. Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Been a very, very good day here as day one. Texans training camp 2025 in the books. And it was a good one, man. Like, generally up, down, good day, you know?
For sure.
So shout out to that. Shout out to who wins the day. And like, I understand that we're not going to do it quite like this, but I think we're getting a feel for the pet cat situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that I got a little one when it came to, who was it again? It was Brevin. Obviously Brevin got some love. Kate Stover. If you got him as one of your personal pet cats for this training camp, he's starting out strong. Look, I mean, he looks like he's ready to go, and he got a lot of love from the general manager of the team. Who else did you feel like when it came to like pet cat points association and who else were the guys that made some noise?
I'm going to go with what you said, who won the day.
Okay.
If you had to pick one, I would say it would absolutely be Cade Stover. Cade Stover
got a lot of love
from the get-go, got a lot of love, got out on the field early on with the first group that was on the field. Actually had a couple. Brevin Jordan had a catch too, a couple catches as well. So I would say, yeah, probably if I had to pick one, that. But in terms of the pet cat points that we're getting, we each picked three. We each drafted three players, and we're scoring it in terms of getting some love, them making some plays. Reggie, you got Brevin Jordan. I thought Ursary, that was Figgy's pick.
Deserved it.
He might have won the day if you had to go with someone else. He stepped right out there, right tackle, man, with the first group that was on the field, as we like to say.
It's going to be hard for linemen to win the day this first week, though.
That was an easy one.
Until we get pads on.
Yeah, well, but in terms of just what we saw, you know, and what we expected and saw in minicamp, I would say Ursher would be on that list.
Is that a bad sign for Blake Fisher?
I don't know inherently. You seem to know inherently. How do you feel about it?
It's not like, because I've said I've never really been that confident in it, but I said this earlier. This isn't like the first team offensive line. We can't sit here and say, oh, that's the first team offensive line.
No.
But what we know is he's getting the first chance to win the job with the first group, because we talk about how they're really trying to, you know, implement this offense, take their time, do it the right way, get it. Well, the biggest part of that is the five fingers in a glove. You know, D'Amico talked about it today. Nick talked about it today. The group, the mentality of the group versus everything else. Well, he was in that group.
He was in that group.
Yeah.
I do think that, and it's funny because I feel like now I'm turning to John Lopez. I'm interested to see when Trent Brown is available and he's off the PUP list, if he doesn't factor into that as well. Because Ursary at a later point is in at left tackle.
Yes.
So I think that this, in some ways, they're just kind of throwing all these guys in various different places to see what they pick up and how quickly they pick them up and how they seem to work next to each other. But I mean, I cannot deny that that's probably a good sign that he was in that first group, even if it's just as we're mixing things up, we want to see how he works with the guys that we anticipate and that we feel pretty strongly will start in the likes of at least Cam Robinson and Titus Howard. And it feels like Laken Tomlinson has like very quickly been sidled with those guys that will be starters. And I'm still not sure about that personally, but I got to give him that credit.
Yeah, he was left guard.
Yeah, he was left guard.
With first group that was out there. But you did get me thinking about something.
Okay.
I'm very curious as to how you know, Trent Brown fits in, and he was on the field helping people a lot.
Giving game.
Giving game, as you often say. Does that automatically, when he's healthy, he's going to supplant Ursary?
I mean, I would imagine no. And you, again, you're saying supplant Ursary. I still don't even know if it's his to be supplanted.
Ursary for now, yeah.
I still have no idea. And that I'm still very much leaning to, or at least I have been previously. I'm kind of in a nebulous space where I'm open to whatever the interpretation ultimately is with Trent Brown's status on this team.
Yeah.
But I think I had previously been like, that's a guy who understands the system that can help be a bridge for Nick Haley's system to a group of guys that maybe have not had much, I guess, opportunity to engage with it. But he is 6'8". He's played in this league for a long time. They seem to value guys that have had that have experience. Nick Casera made mention of it a number of times in his availability today. When he's ready to go, he might get thrown in there. I could easily see it. So, yeah, but I don't know. That's a long way of saying I don't know if he will jump in and supplant them. We were talking about the pitchers that you would want to see just one more time at any age. And Brandon Backe comes in, Galveston zone.
Oh, that's a pull.
And then J.R. Richard came up a number of times, and I'm like, my bad, I should have said that the number of times that I saw it. So fair enough, fair play to you fine folks. All right, before we hand things off to the fellas, I saw this on social media. So this is kind of a game of telephone of sorts, so allow me to explain what's happening here. We start with the Mind the Game podcast. It was the podcast that LeBron James and J.J. Redick started like last year, a couple years ago. And then obviously J.J. Redick goes and get a coaching job. And Steve Nash has stepped in. And they've had good conversations, including with a new Houston Rocket, Kevin Durant, recently. And Kevin was talking about that time with Brooklyn, what happened there. And he was talking about kind of things, you know, guys moving around, asking out, the kind of tumultuous nature of that time period. And I guess Kyrie Irving, who obviously was on that team, saw that and said that he was going to address it. So he's been in the streaming world very much recently. This is audio from Kyrie Irving's stream about the podcast clip of Kevin Durant on the Mind Game podcast.
The teams, we got coaches going to other teams.
Yep, and he's talking about coaches going to the team. Ime Udoka literally went to the Boston Celtics after coaching with us. That was crazy, bro. You know, that was crazy. We had Ime Udoka literally go to Boston the next year. I mean, like, you got coaches leaving other teams, and it wasn't anybody's fault. It's just opportunity. But we're in the same division. Can you imagine going against the coach that literally saw all of our strengths and weaknesses, and now we're playing against them? You know what I'm saying? So Boston was ready for us. Ime had them ready, had the Celtics ready, dog. When we played them in the 2022 playoffs, God, wow.
Is this fair or foul? Like, I mean, you could take whichever.
Foul.
Okay, go ahead.
I think it's foul. That happens everywhere. Happens all the time. And, you know,
what's foul?
Like him being aghast that Ime went to a division rival and used information. Where has that not happened? In which league has that not happened? I think it was just like, I think he was more just kind of in awe that it happened to him, that it happened there, and that Ime, you know, had them so ready. I mean, we see it all the time. You know, all the time, team going, a coach getting a job, and he did mention this, an opportunity, getting an opportunity. Well, that opportunity happens to be with the Celtics. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it. Foul in the sense of, like, I wouldn't be aghast at it. It happens a lot.
Yeah, I found that to be interesting that was kind of put up there. Now, of course, again, this was, I don't know how lateral the move was, because he was on the staff with the Nets and then he was on the staff with the Celtics. Mm-hmm. Eventually, he ends up taking the job once Brad Stevens moves up to the front office. Another part of that I was kind of thinking on also was just, this was KD's part of his reasoning as to why the Brooklyn thing didn't work. Not because I know a lot of people in the pursuit, or as we were discussing the potential pursuit of Kevin Durant, we're like, nah, I don't want him. Things didn't work in all these places. Mm-hmm. Clearly, he has something to do with it. There were a lot of things that were happening behind the scenes with guys moving around and leaving that created kind of tumult in Brooklyn. And so I did think that was fair to bring up, at least in that regard.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it wasn't ideal, but it just wasn't unusual.
But I do think that comes back around to, hey, man, it makes me, not that I wasn't already jazzed about Kevin Durant being on this Rockets team. Mm-hmm. I think I appreciate that these guys are able to, like, acknowledge, and maybe this is excuse making for them. I don't know. It's possible.
Yeah.
But acknowledge that, hey, man, the reason why this worked was not because Kevin Durant was not capable of, like, you know, being a leader or being a good player. There was a lot of of some of the circumstances behind the scenes that sometimes we don't give enough credit for in the world of sports. The idea that you're dealing with humans and all sorts of organizations, and organizations fail for all sorts of reasons, as I'm sure that our guy Clint Sterner can point to in some degrees,
been
right, as we welcome him.
Been in the middle of a few of them.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God.
Whole scheme. Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani,
inevitable. Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Baseball is something else.
Yes.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.